The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show. I hope you had a happy Purim. You've recuperated now. You've got a Shabbos. It's like the old Texas expression, I've been to sleep since then. We've got an awesome show for you today. Everybody knows that still on people's mind is the incidents at Brussels. It just so happens that the president of Jewish Ferndale, Sam Wunderlich, was in Brussels at the time. And we're going to talk to her. We're going to have her on talking about what's going on in Brussels. This is our person on the ground. We are cutting edge. The portion of the week is the portion of Shmini. We have to believe it or not, we're preparing for Passover already. Passover is in less than a month. Ooh. All kinds of wonderful Jewish music for you. We've got awesome Hasidic story at the end of the show. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. This story was pushed off the headlines by the Brussels stories, but there was a bomb last week, a terrorist attack in Istanbul, which a bunch of Israelis, three Israelis were killed. So all the Israelis injured in the Istanbul terror attack were airlifted by Magen David Adom back to Israel for further medical treatment. Another plane brought back the bodies of those three murdered Israelis to Israel for burial. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu offered condolences on behalf of the people of Israel and wishes for a speedy recovery to the injured to the Belgian Prime Minister Charles Michel after the two bombings in Brussels that killed at least 34 people and injured scores more. He also offered Israel's help and cooperation in the fight against terrorism. Israel's know about that. Israel closed the West Bank to prevent attacks over the Purim holiday. Palestinians were prevented from exiting or entering the West Bank during that time, except in the cases of humanitarian and medical and other exceptional cases. In other news, Illinois became the first state to actually do something against the BDS movement. They passed a bill a long time ago, but the state agency now barred companies from doing business with the state for boycotting Israel. 11 companies, mostly banks from Scandinavia and Western Europe, will no longer be able to do business with the state of Illinois. Following terrorist attacks, Antwerp Jews were told not to wear masks on Purim. It's customary to dress up in costumes. Some people call it the Israeli Halloween, actually, and they were told, don't put masks on. No, we're kind of worried about people walking around. Somebody told me that they had a ski mask they wanted to wear to my Purim thing, and I said, no, don't come in to this thing wearing a ski mask. No, wrong. And finally, in a secret operation, this will be the story of a movie for sure, 17 Jews from Yemen were secretly flown to Israel. A few dozen others who didn't want to leave remained behind, mostly in a closed compound in the capital city of Sana'a. Stay tuned for details. Since it's such a secret thing, it was done by the Mossad, the whole business. It's like right out of some kind of a movie there. But that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you can go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have Sam Wunderlich, Ferndale resident, and one of my students, president of Jewish Ferndale online. She is talking to us from Brussels, Belgium. Everybody knows Brussels now. How are you, Sam?
Pretty good, thank God.
I'm actually glad that you're actually saying that, because when I heard about what was happening and I knew that you were in Belgium, I just like went, oh, expletive deleted. And yeah, thank you. You're good. So where were you at 9 a.m. last Tuesday?
So on Tuesday, we had taken, I'm here visiting a friend, and we decided to go out of the city of Brussels for the day. And we'd taken the subway, a different subway line, but still the same subway system, at around 8:45. And arrived at the bus station. I don't know my Belgium geography pretty well, like super well, but it's not far from the city center, but it wasn't in the European quarter. So we had gotten out at 9 a.m. and minutes later is when the subway attack had happened. While we were waiting for our bus, which was arriving around 9:15, we learned about the first attack at the airport. Like, we checked the news and we were like obviously very shocked, but expected it to be an isolated incident. So we were shocked, but you know, thank God we weren't going anywhere near the airport. And as we were on the bus out of town, there were police everywhere. Just like every police vehicle that must have been in the vicinity of Brussels drove by our bus, and we had a feeling something else had happened. And that's when we checked the news and learned about the subway attack, which was maybe a kilometer and a half from where we were at the time.
Mm, okay. So you didn't, thank God you didn't experience it, but
right.
So when you got to your place where you were finally going, which was away from the city, were the people there, like, was the situation now, like, we have been under attack, or was it, you were sort of like divorced from it?
We were divorced from it only because we went to like a really small city in the middle of nowhere. Interestingly enough, we were going to a concentration camp, so it was an interesting historical relevance to the moment. But so we were like on this bus, and there were only a few people on the bus, and in checking on our phones, we knew that what was going on in Brussels and that public transportation had been completely shut down, and so we hadn't heard from our bus driver that our bus wasn't going to keep running, but there was a little bit of time where we weren't even sure if we would get out of the city. But once we got there, it was just like we were let off in a side street in a little city and no one was around us. So, I mean, it seemed life as usual, but only because it was such an isolated place.
Mm-hmm. So you were there for the day. Now you had to come back. What time were you planning on coming back?
So first we actually went to a second city, which by train, which was like, that was simple. That was easy. But when we got at the train station, there was a police presence. And I'm not so familiar with what it would have been like before the attack, but there were police when we arrived in the second city that we went to. And then that evening when we went to leave, there were even more, like, I wouldn't say more police, but it was a couple police walking around, and at least one, you know, dog, canine dog. And we hadn't set a time to return, but we knew that the train ran every 15 to 20 minutes. So we shouldn't, again, we'd heard that the trains were running again. It shouldn't have been a problem. We got to the train station around 9:15, and the next train was supposed to come within 20 minutes, but it was over an hour. We ended up getting on a train at 10:45.
Mm-hmm. So things were on the slow.
Yes. Yeah. So there was no train for over an hour. Despite the board saying there should have been one.
So they weren't even posting, like I know in major places that have commuter trains, not like Detroit, they will post, even in the New York City subway, it'll tell you how many minutes is the next train to come in, and it's accurate right to the second at that point. There wasn't even any, it was saying the next train is going to come in 15 minutes, and 15 minutes went and passed, and the next train will be in 15 minutes, and so there wasn't even information as to when the next train was going to happen.
Right. It was pretty confusing. I, again, this is in a language that I don't know at all. So like the best I could understand is they have confirmed trains and like what they think are what they think is going to happen. And so the list of what should happen included multiple trains that should have been the trains that could have taken us back. They were never changed to the confirmed status until finally that the one train that did end up coming was switched to confirmed status. So like, that's kind of how we didn't know, like it didn't say for sure it wasn't coming, but it also didn't say it was for sure coming.
Uh-huh. And you had no information that the trains could have been stopped going into Brussels altogether. And you had no information.
Essentially. I mean, as far as we could tell, like from looking it up online, it said the trains were running. So that's why we were really confused. Cause as far as we could tell, they should have been running. We just didn't have any trains.
Okay. Now, so 10:45, you get into the train. You get into Brussels probably close to midnight.
Yeah. Around 11:15, we got back to the station.
Oh, you weren't that far away.
No. Thankfully, the trains are pretty fast, too.
Okay. What was it like on the street?
It was completely eerie. So first getting back to the train station, there were a handful of people, maybe a dozen or so, navigating the train station. But besides those dozen people, there were 2 to 3 dozen police and military officials. They had closed certain access points to the, or more like exits from the station. So like, you know, if there were 10 exits out of the level we were on, you were only allowed to take 2 of them. They just like put caution tape over them. And like there were just police and military everywhere. A couple with canine units, but mainly just... And this is like Israeli style. I mean, the Belgian army walks around with those like big sniper rifles,
big
which
guns
is
on people's backs.
It's not something we're used to so much back in the States. But it was a little bit like unnerving, but at the same time,
assuring.
And as we were getting ready, we were asking them if we could take the subway. And before they even like answered our question, they searched our bags. But again, we had nothing to hide, so we had no problem with that. And we weren't able to take the subway, so we did have to walk from the station, which was about a 15-20 minute walk back to uphill, though, so it wasn't the easiest walk, back to my friend's apartment. And along the way, we thought we saw some buses running, so we thought we'd stop and wait for a bus. And much like the train, it never came, so we gave up on waiting for the bus. So it took us, we got back to her apartment around midnight, and mm-hmm. in the streets where there were a couple people out. I mean, we passed a couple bars and there were half dozen people at those bars. But it was pretty eerie. I mean, I don't know what a Tuesday night is usually like in Brussels, but this is a really big European capital and there should have definitely been a lot more people out. So it was pretty eerie and quiet, and you could just kind of feel the heavy energy, even though there weren't people around.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the last massacre happened in Paris, and it was discovered that the terrorists had come from Brussels, Brussels was basically put under martial law for about 3 weeks, and
yeah.
people weren't
it completely
looking.
Shut down for a week.
Yeah. So what was now? This is if that's what happens in Paris. So what happened when it happened in Brussels?
Well, and that some of the people that were here, like my friend was here for the Paris attack, and we met up with another friend Monday night, who we were communicating with throughout the day, and both of them were responding that the shutdown was less severe this time. Some of the trains were running again last night, although not all of them. Some of the buses and the trams were running again. And today, like, it's probably up to about 50% capacity running. So it seems like overall it's a little bit less shut down. We don't know what their insight is and what their intel is. If they think the person is still, there is somebody still on the run that they're looking for. It's unclear if they think that they're in Brussels. It's unclear if, as of now, they haven't announced that they know who the person is. So it's really kind of unclear what they know and unclear why, you know, some things are running and some things aren't. I mean, it's clear why the airport's not running. The airport had physical damage and obviously has an investigation underway. So that makes sense that the airport is still closed. But as far as like why some of the subways are running and some of them aren't, we don't know. And actually the friend I'm staying with, she was commenting that which subways are running doesn't even make sense because some of them that were nowhere near the affected zone aren't running, but some of the other ones that go by that area are running. So, you know, mm-hmm. we don't know why things are running and why other things are not running.
So it's not like the subway, which was subway station, which was damaged is like a filter for these other trains. It's just, you haven't been told why.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that subway station is still closed. But as far as we can tell, there are trains basically going by it. Like they're stopping at the station before and station after. This is all what we've been able to tell from online, you know, since we haven't ventured out very far today because the subway station closest to the apartment here is closed. And so are a lot of museums and a lot of offices. And we've stayed pretty close to the apartment today. So we haven't really ventured out to see what everything is doing as of today.
Okay. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Sam Wunderlich of Ferndale, Michigan, who is currently in Brussels and was in Brussels at the time of this horrible terrorist attack. When we think Judaism in Belgium, we think Antwerp, but Brussels does have a pretty decent Jewish community. So what's been your interaction with them and their reaction? Synagogue services, Purim was celebrated this week. How did this all put a damper on that?
Well, it affected our Purim plans pretty significant in the sense that originally we were going to Antwerp, of course. And so when we debated if it's worth chancing if the trains will work on Thursday or not, and we decided that it wasn't even going to be worth chancing. So we contacted the local Chabad here in Brussels, got an answer immediately, very warm welcome, and are able to like going to be partaking with them. So, you know, the interaction so far with the community has been really, really positive and very welcoming. And the plans, I know that the Chabad had planned to do some stuff that they're not able to do anymore. They didn't explicitly say if it's because of transportation issues or because of safety concerns, but what even the Brussels Chabad was planning on doing for Purim was changed. The location was changed from somewhere, I'm not sure exactly where, to a home due to the events of this week. So again, it could be, you know, transportation issues. It could be a lot of things. We're not sure exactly.
Not sure if it's transportation or security, yeah. Whatever logistics it happens to be. We did report on the news. I did get a blurb that Jews were recommended that they not wear masks in their Purim costumes. I don't know if you've heard about that and what you were planning on dressing up as, but so it did have something to it. So what's your plans now? You're from Ferndale. You don't live in Brussels. So what's your plans now?
For the rest of the week or for Purim specifically?
For the rest of the week.
So, I mean, I guess they're sort of the one and the same in the sense that I'm leaving Friday morning. So Friday morning was planning to stay in Brussels Wednesday night, going to Antwerp on Thursday. Friday morning, I have a train to Frankfurt where, and no knowledge as of Wednesday, if there's going to be any complications with that. Thankfully, my plans had been to take this train to Frankfurt and fly home from Frankfurt rather than my original plan, which was actually to fly out of Brussels, which would have been very difficult.
Which you can't do anymore.
Yeah. So thankfully, my plans were not so directly affected. But yeah, so then I head to Frankfurt for Shabbos, and then I fly home Sunday. So, I mean, some of my sightseeing was decreased and, you know, things that I could have seen today and tomorrow, plans got changed, but, you know, thank God it's nothing so severe. And, I'm happy to change plans for the sake of safety and
right. And be able to, and actually to be able to change those plans. Yes,
exactly. Have that flexibility. And, it's not a detrimental, you know, it's not a big, obviously it was scary to be here. It was scary to have this going on. It was scary when for a moment we didn't know. Scary is maybe the wrong word. It was unsettling when we didn't know if we were going to actually make it back to Brussels or not last night or on Tuesday night after the attack. So Not knowing those details was unsettling, but overall the trip has still been positive. And along the way, had some really, really amazing interactions. Some lady with this small town we were at offered a place to stay at her house if we were stuck. And, you know, we met her because we walked into her store. On Facebook, you know, lots of people knowing I was in Brussels were reaching out. And of course, I posted just to kind of assure people that I was okay. I had a friend from college who I haven't spoken to in 8 years reach out to me that should, and actually we were in contact when we were at the train station and weren't sure the train was going to come. She was offering to come pick us up and drive us to Antwerp for the night if we needed it. So, I mean, my overall experience, despite the really unfortunate, really sad attack, has been really positive, and people have really helped me personally, but also just I've seen a lot of good and humanity around me, which silver lining.
Yeah, which is always a good thing. So yeah, nice to know there are humans out there. Yes. Menschlichkeit, as we call it.
Exactly. Restores a little bit of faith.
Okay, so our guest today, we're going to wrap it up now. Our guest today has been Sam Wunderlich of Ferndale, Michigan, who has been visiting Brussels and has given us the eyes and ears of what's happening on the ground there in the aftermath of the terrorist attacks there at the airport and in the subway station. I want to wish you a Nisia Tova, enjoy the rest of your trip and a pleasant trip back, and we'll see you when you get back to Michigan, Sam.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it, and hope all the Purim plans were as wonderful as they were expected to be in my absence. So I had a little bit of FOMO, you know, missing out on everybody.
Yeah,
but
you were sorely missed.
So thank you so much.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Stop paying more than your fair share of property tax now. I'm Stephen Poulter, attorney at law and president of Express Property Tax Appeals. Right now, your commercial property tax assessments are in the mail. Like many commercial property owners, you're probably paying unnecessary and exorbitant property taxes, potentially costing you hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. Express Property Tax Appeals can help. I recently reduced one of my clients' property tax values by $2 million, realizing $250,000 in real tax dollar savings. I can do the same for you. If you're a commercial property owner, manager, or broker, and are tired of paying more than your fair share of property tax, call Express Property Tax Appeals now at 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. That's 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. You have nothing to lose except your looming property tax burden. I'm Stephen Poulter with Express Property Tax Appeals, and I look forward to saving you money on your property taxes.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Good to hear that people are okay and life is getting on. We have up for your listening pleasure next. This is brand new. This is Menachem J., who's up and coming on the Jewish music scene. This song is called We Want Mashiach Achshav. Achshav is Hebrew for right now.
We want Mashiach Achshav. Hey, hey, hey. Oh, oh, oh. בכל מקום בגלובוס, תמיד הם שם בפוקס, שלוחי חבדנה הם מנים. בוואים הכוח, עובדים לו לא מנוח, עושים אצבולה לקיימים. להאיר את הנשמה, בכל בשביל בכל פינה, וישרים פה משימה. We want משיח עכשיו, זועק בכל מקום מרב. We want Mashiach now. Oh, 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 oh.
את הקודש יבגדנו לחושך לכל אדם יש תמיד תשובה מוסר הוא את המפוש כל יהודי הוא נכס באמונה יש את התקווה בשלמות ארץ ישראל ביחדות נביא גואל סוף כל עודקים המואל we want משיח עכשיו
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Fidman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. I have a bit of a confession. Last week we had a request for a specific song, a klezmer song. And so I happened to pull out the album, and out of my own laziness, I just said, well, I'm not going to look for another one. I just pulled a different song off the same album. So this is the same group we played last week. It's called Tachlit, and this song is called Freilich, which means happy. It's still Adar. We still have to be Freilich. We still have to be happy.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have time for one more. This is brand new again. We are cutting edge. This is the New York City Boys Choir, which I believe they're probably most likely from New York City. And this song is called Marbin Besimcha, because the month of Adar is a time we're supposed to increase in joy. And Marbin Besimcha means increase in joy. So let's listen and increase in joy. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800.
Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Shmini. It is to be found in Chapter 9 of the Book of Leviticus and following. It begins with the 7 days of consecration. We're at the end of the book of Exodus, and this is the eighth day now. So the storyline picks up, and what happens is we have the whole events of the first day of the actual workings of the sanctuary in the desert. One of the things that happened is actually most disconcerting is the death of Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu. This is where we're going to focus this week. It says that they took a strange fire and entered into God, and they were souls were burned. That's the jargon, which is as the verse describes it there. What had happened is Nadav and Avihu, being Aaron's sons, Moshe's and Miriam's nephews, were raised with in the height of spirituality. And they understood that their position as priests, they were to be a go-between the Jewish people and the Almighty. And so in order to be a proper go-between, you have to know what you're going between. So they knew the Jewish people. They had been raised among the Jewish people. That was easy. But they didn't know God. And so therefore, in order to be able to relate God to the Jewish people, they had to be able to relate to God. And so they went into the Holy of Holies, which was reserved only for the high priests, which they weren't high priests. They were just regular priests. They were just Kohanim, not Kohen Gadol. And only on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and only at specific times during the day. And this was the first day of Nisan, which is pretty close to where we are now in the Hebrew calendar. So it's comparable from now to when Yom Kippur is, which Yom Kippur this year is in the middle of October. So they went in, and they experienced the ultimate godly revelation. Pretty much more... Well, I have to say it was more than what the Jews received at Sinai. Because at Sinai, it says, when God said, I'm the Lord your God, and commanded them to believe in God, the first commandment, it says the souls of all the Jews flew out of their bodies. But the Almighty put their souls back into their bodies. And this happened the second time when he said, you're not allowed to have other gods before me. Same deal. And after that, the people said, no, we got to stop this. So, but here it was that their souls flew out of their body, and the Almighty said, whoops, too bad. I'm not putting him back. So here, what's the deal? What's going on over here? What do we need to know? That this is a story that happened. Very, very famous line, the Torah is not a history book. The Torah is definitely not a story book. The Torah is not a law book, because we have all these stories in it, but the stories are there because the Torah is a lesson book, and we are to learn lessons, valuable lessons, from the story, this specific story. What did they want to do? They wanted to experience unbridled godliness. And they knew the vehicle, how to go and do that. Now, it wasn't right for them. They are referred to as sinners because we're not put into this world to have our souls fly out of our body. Had God wanted souls without bodies, God would have created souls without bodies. But since God created souls in bodies, so God wants the souls to stay in those bodies for as long as however much God wants them, hopefully up till 120 years. But they wanted to experience the ultimate godly revelation. They wanted to get in touch with this, the essence of their essence, you might say. This is a very good thing. everybody should want to get in touch with the essence of their essence, of who they really are, what their soul really is, to really be honestly, truly experience the infiniteness of Hashem. I'll tell you a personal. I was not raised religious. And to me, as a young person, religion was presented as a whole bunch of restrictions and constrictions and negatives and you can'ts, and was not appreciative of all of what it could possibly happen. You know, Marx said religion is a crutch, the opiate of the masses. This is what I was raised with. When I was 15, I was introduced to number set theory in math and was really intrigued by infinity and really wanted to figure out if there is something called infinity. It's not just out there, but you should be able to get to infinity. Because if we know about it, this is this rather Cartesian logic on my part as a 15-year-old, if you can think about it, you should be able to get there, right? You know, so there must be something that it's not, I mean, it just didn't involve warp factor travel to the ends of the universe. This is just like, I just wanted to get in touch with infinity. And went on a journey of about 2.5 years, when I understood that where is it that you find infinity is not out in the universe, but it's right inside. We're living in the infinity is living within us, and we're living in it. What was the story? It was very interesting. My first Shabbos, experiencing the Shabbos away from my normal environs. I had been invited to partake in a Shabbos in the Crown Heights section of Brooklyn to be near the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And I was billeted, they were having a special weekend, and I was billeted by a very simple person. He was a bookbinder by trade, it's a small family. And Friday night, the phone started ringing. This is December 1975. The answering machine hadn't yet even been invented. And the phone rang, and it rang for 20 times. So now I knew, having grown up, my grandmother, who was a religious woman, if the phone rang that much on Shabbos, she would go pick it up because it's an emergency. Why would anybody let the phone ring for 20 times? So the phone rang like 20 times, and I asked the host, are you going to pick it up? He said, no. And I said to him, I asked him, well, what if it's an emergency? And his response, what if it's not? So I understood right there at that point that he was where I had wanted to be for the last 3 years. He was in that infinity. He was living there. The constraints of world, the limitations of all the things that you had to do in world were gone. He was in his zone. He was in his groove. He was experiencing, his essence was experiencing its essence. For that, you don't have to go run off to some holy of holies, some place, and run in and have your soul fly out of your body like a nut of an avihu. For that, what we do is we have to turn inside. Most often, when there is a leap year, Jewish leap year, there are seven leap years in a 19-year cycle. The Jewish calendar follows the lunar year. It is 12 lunar months, which means that in every Jewish year, there are 12 new moons and 12 full moons. There will never be a blue moon in a Hebrew calendar because that's impossible. A blue moon is when you have two full moons in the same month. And since it is that the first day of the month is the new moon and the 15th day of the month is the full moon, that's the way the calendar's set up, it's impossible to have 2/15ths of the month in one moon, in one month. So they'll never, the concept only exists in a solar year. But to keep things on par, because Passover always has to fall in the spring, now, technically speaking, if there would not have been a leap year this year, Passover would have fallen out on March 22nd, which was after spring. But I don't know how it worked in with the solar year or whatnot. Spring is normally March 22nd. This year, it happened to be March 20th. I'm not that much of an astronomer to understand that. And this is not the astronomy hour. This is a Jewish hour. So technically speaking, it could have happened on the 22nd, but, and we would have already been fulfilling now, I'd be talking to you about the Passover the show, and we'd be, right now this would be the Chol HaMoed show instead of the Pesach story after Purim. But so we had another month because they wanted to make sure during temple times that the weather was warm, which I have a daughter now who's in, and Israel tells me it's beautiful over there now. So you want to have make sure that there's enough sheep for your Paschal lambs. You know, these make sure the roads are in good condition, fix all the potholes. Remember, Israel is not Michigan. So this was all taken into consideration in addition to the fact that it had to be the full moon following the spring equinox in addition to that. So we just read the story of Purim. And we're just following now. So Purim, so the way it works is in the leap year that this portion of Shmini will follow the story of Purim. In a non-leap year, it happens very often that Shmini, this week's portion, follows Passover. It makes sense because we've added an entire month to the calendar, so we're a month ahead, you might say. Or as I want to tell people, April is early this year. So it's not that Passover comes late, it's April's early. That's what the problem is. So getting back to the matters at hand. So there's a connection between Purim and Shmini, at least 7 out of 19 times, which is almost half. Which is, it's good enough, okay? If you had a baseball player who was batting 7 goes into 19, 19 goes into 7, 450, he'd be in the Hall of Fame, yes. What happened on Purim? What was the big deal on Purim? It says, V'nahapachu, things were totally and completely upside down. It starts out that Haman is in control. It ends that Mordechai is in control. It starts out that the Jews really don't care a whole lot about their Judaism. It ends. The Jews are totally and committed and completely to all the ideals of Judaism, not as a sense of coercion, but as a sense of wanting. So here it is that Purim suggests the same thing as the portion of Shmini. It's this idea of wanting to get in touch with the essence of one's essence. That's really what Purim is. It's an idea, an expression of redemption. Redemption means to go out of the limits of exile. Without limits, hey, we call that infinity. And this Purim is placed always, we mentioned this last week, in the second month in the leap year, closer to Passover, so that it should be, we have the redemption of Purim as a predecessor to the redemption of Passover, when the Jews emerged as the Jewish people from Egypt. We have one more redemption to experience. And it would be very appropriate, if you're asking my opinion, it would be very appropriate if the Almighty were to bring that third and final redemption, which is with the coming of the Mashiach, in between the redemption of Purim and the redemption of Passover, so that this year we can say, and honestly, when we said last year, every year we conclude the Haggadah, the Passover service, the Seder on the first and second night of Passover is concluded with the words, next year in Jerusalem. So if it happens now before Passover, so we will have fulfilled that plea that next Passover, we will be in Jerusalem. In the meantime, we have to take a quick commercial break. and we'll be right back. Don't go away. We got the Hasidic story next. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Harry Schulfman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. In case you may have forgotten or never knew, the voiceover of the person who does that pledge is Mr. Spex Howard of Spex Howard School of Media Arts, a proud sponsor of the Jewish Hour for 20 years. He's been our sponsor. Mr. Spex Howard, this next month, will be, with the help of the Almighty, celebrating his 90th birthday, and he's still in charge of Spex Howard School of Media Arts, and he's making sure it's a tight lid on it. He runs that place like a clock. And just to reiterate, if you're even thinking about this, that's where he was my mentor. He's the one who said, you know, when you're on the air, don't like do this or that or this or that. Do this and this and this and this. So he gave me those pointers, which sort of like tied everything in. So if you're thinking about maybe getting involved with radio, but it's more, so much more than that. It's media arts now. There's so much things going on with computers and internets and graphic designs and staging and lighting and movie production. And we're just going to shout out and wish Mr. Liebman, Mr. Spex, a happy 90th birthday coming up. If you want to get in touch with me, the way to do that, rabbifinman.com. You'll find archive editions of the show. You'll find other things that we're doing. You'll find a donations page. Thank God we paid for February. It is now, we are in the last week of March. And next week it'll be April, and I'll be saying, listen, we didn't pay March yet. So, but right now we're current, so it's really good. So it's not due until the next week. So, but if you go to the computer and hit the donations page, and by the way, if you do $36 or more during March, you get a free CD because you become a member of the Jewish Hour family, and we send you a free CD. April, I'm not sending you one. So do that today. Go to your computer, $36 or more. We want to thank all the people that became members, that continue their membership. We paid for February with that money. Don't think the $36 isn't anything. It really added up very fast. And we thank you to do it, so go there and do it. Don't like doing internet giving, credit cards over internet. Don't like that. Understood. Send your donation, any amount, to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Okay, our story goes back. This is a little bit Jewish ingenuity. Back when Catherine the Great was expanding her empire in Russia, so she had her eyes set on Lithuania and actually managed to conquer the city of Shklov, which, since I told you that, sometimes it was in Lithuania, sometimes it was in Russia, and I just know it's many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. So the person who was put in charge is the governor of Shklov, whose name is not included in the story. He's just called the general because he had led many campaigns on the behalf of Catherine, and as a payback, she put him in charge of the Shklov region. He was a horrible anti-Semite of the Haman proportions, as we just done with Purim, and levied all kinds of decrees against the Jewish people specifically taxes. And what was he doing with the money that he's collecting, quote unquote, for taxes? He was pocketing it. One time, the prime minister, Catherine's prime minister, was traveling through Shklov on an official visit, let it known that he's coming and he's taking petitions from the different groups of people living in Shklov. And this general, let it be known that any Jew who petitions the prime minister will quite literally have his head handed to him. Now, the Jews, they're miserable, and they know that if they can get to the prime minister, they can get to the queen. and then they could get rid of this horrible general person. There was one person in Shklov who was actually a brilliant, erudite scholar. But he was also a jester. He was a real joker. It's like he would walk into a room and an infant would start smiling. This was like he couldn't help doing it. So they went to him and said, "You're on. Somehow you have to get to the prime minister." Which is fine. He waited. He was the last one in line. He was dressed as a Russian farm peasant. And he handed the prime minister a letter. The prime minister opened it and it was totally, completely blank. So he said, "What's this?" He said, "Oh, the letter. It was so shy that the words ran away." And he started just like looking on the floor for the letters to the words to the letter. And everybody's like laughing at him. The prime minister caught his eye and said, "There's something going on over here," and said, "I want to talk to you in private." So he said, "Okay, tell me what's going on." So he told him all about the minister and the money that he was taking off. There was a whole investigation. The prime minister sent back word to Catherine. Catherine moved this general, instead of being governor of Shklov, which was many miles east of East Point, Gross Point Farms, moved him to a small town in Siberia, which is many, many miles west of Gross Point Farms. And the people of Shklov lived happily ever after. That's going to do it for us today. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care. Okay, whatever.